your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
We had the brief commercial break after the prior segment. Jimmy is going to go back and clean that one up simply by bringing up two things that we wanted to talk about in that segment. And then we're going to get on with it.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that the amount of revenues, and we talked about this last week, that the government is taking in is far below the budget deficit requirements. And now we're approaching a $2 trillion deficit for this fiscal year. It's at $1.6 trillion right now, and by the time we finish it out, it could be close to $2 trillion. And that's on top of already a $31 to $32 trillion debt. So
Terrifying. These
problems are really difficult to overcome.
They are hugely difficult to overcome, Jimmy. Terrifying to me every time I hear those numbers talked about on the daily news. Something else that I find terrifying in one sense is the development of the atomic bomb. Saw the movie last night, which, by the way, I highly recommend to everybody to see. I went and saw it because I know you and the family went and saw it, and you told me it was a do-not-miss movie. Well, I went and saw it last night, and it truly was a do-not-miss movie. You want to talk about it a little bit, Jimmy?
Yeah, we're talking about Oppenheimer, and I think, you know, it's Christopher Nolan. He's a phenomenal director. He spent a lot of time on this. It's a long movie, but it is incredibly engrossing. It does a phenomenal job of going through the history of the development of a nuclear weapon and the justification for the development of a nuclear weapon, driven by fears of people like Albert Einstein and others that knew that the Nazis were trying to develop the weapon. And they put together with J. Robert Oppenheimer and a general or a colonel at the time named Leslie Groves, a plan to go ahead and create and build the weapon. The movie walks through the whole process and actually gets into some of the personal issues with Oppenheimer, because, you know, he was associated with communists and it was a tremendously challenging time in the world, and then talks through the implications of the development of the weapon and gives actually a fairly accurate picture of the timeline and the kind of the events surrounding it based on a very accurate, from what we understand, a historical perspective.
Well, what I thought was interesting was Oppenheimer's involvement with the Communist Party, which was minimal, but I'll tell you, the U.S. really, really went after that because not only was J. Robert a member of the party, but his wife was also a member of the party. But I think she summed it up in a testimony very effectively when she said, I was looking at not necessarily at what was going on in Russia at the time, but in the pure sense I was looking at the party, what it advocated and what it didn't advocate. That's something I think that was very, very interesting point, Jim.
Well, people forget, you know, we look back now through very different eyes, you know, historically than people at the time. And remember Marxism and Leninism, and of course the control that was created after the fall of the Russian Empire and the creation of the Soviet Union. There was a lot of excitement in that period of time for the labor movement.
Yeah,
to the point where
right.
Yeah, to the point where people like FDR created programs like Social Security, and, you know, the state became more responsible for individuals because of kind of the pressures from this leftist ideology. And no one understood early on in the early 30s what was actually happening inside the Soviet Union to control people's thoughts, views, and the basically horrific events of like the Holodomor in Ukraine, the starvation of people, the internment camps, the gulags, the mass culling of opposition, mass murders on unbelievable scales. And of course, many people didn't understand it because it's a different world back then. You didn't have the same amount of information flow. And so this ideological view that everybody was be equal sounded good. But what you saw with fascism, and remember, nationalism, national socialism was not necessarily a right-wing idea. That was kind of a socialism idea that was merged together with corporate identity, something that we're seeing on a global scale right now. And I think this movie captures that and helps educate people on a lot of different issues, but certainly on the personal issues with Oppenheimer and what the long-term ramifications were for the development of the bomb, or the concerns that were there. And of course, we haven't had another event since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
No.
Thank God. And maybe because of the fear of the potential damage that would be done. But what happened afterwards was a tremendous race for who would have the most power. And ultimately that cost the Soviet Union its existence.
Well, I don't mean to let the cat out of the bag, but what I thought was very interesting is toward the end of the show, Oppenheimer was chatting with his friend Einstein, and he was saying, you know, you and I were talking years and years ago about what kind of effect a weapon like this would have on society, because we didn't know at the time, but they were having this conversation at the end of World War II, and he said, now we know. And the impression that I walked away from that statement was, the atomic bomb really, I mean, yeah, a lot of people got killed. And, you know, God bless them, but I have to tell you, we haven't had a major, what I would call a major war of the magnitude of the First or Second World War since the atomic bomb was developed. And I have to say thank God for that.
Yeah, you do. And, of course, you know, a lot of people question the use on Japan, but the reality was after the absolute devastation and willingness of the Japanese people to sacrifice to fight for Okinawa, the expectation was a million casualties on the mainland Japan. Yeah. And they would not have given up without the emperor and the senior military leadership basically saying enough is enough. And they made the decision to drop the bomb. Truman made the decision. He did it. And what we saw was a race for that power afterwards. That actually created the conditions that people were so afraid to use it as they built up these massive arsenals. The policymakers were hesitant to do it. What we've seen now is a dispersion, though, with a lot more countries having nuclear weapons. And, of course, the question always is, how responsible will they be and how desperate, and will they be able to control them and maintain them?
Yeah, I think this motion picture should go down as the best picture of 2023. And the reason I say that is it was very definitely not fiction. It definitely had much more than, you know, gut-wrenching action and sex in the movie. It really made you stop and think about the importance of the magnitude of the importance, I guess I should say, of the development of the atomic bomb. I don't think so. You guys stick around. We're going to be right back after the top of the hour news.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
KER, politics and finance, and politics and economics, I guess I should say, if we're going to stick with the same name. You guys, one thing that's really bothering me right now is we have a very important candidate out there right now who is not getting any Secret Service protection, and that's Robert F. Kennedy. Read about that yesterday, and I think that is absolutely terrible. When you forgot the word, so I took a synonym with it. Anyway, what I want to say is I think it's terrible that RFK is not getting Secret Service protection. Jim, you want to comment on that?
You bet. You know, this shows you how far the Biden White House and the Democratic Party will go to control the direction in the future, not only of the party, but protect Joe Biden. Here's the reality. It's not like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doesn't have good justification to be concerned about his safety. His father was murdered in the Democratic primary in 1968. His uncle was murdered as president of the United States in 1963. And here's some of the facts that he's presented, that Robert F. Kennedy's presented, that when Teddy Kennedy, his uncle, ran for office, and before he'd actually ran against, was officially notified or made his claim that he was running for office, he got Secret Service protection 441 days out. And he was running against an incumbent, Jimmy Carter, Democrat, and Jimmy Carter approved the Secret Service. John McCain got Secret Service 551 days out. Obama got it 551 days out. The fact that the Biden administration is not going to give him Secret Service protection shows absolute criminal, in my view, criminal efforts to undermine candidacies, even within his own party, as they're doing against the other players on the Republican side.
I couldn't agree more, Jim. I just could not agree more. I think that the administration is probably very worried about the fact that RFK could probably run away with the election, as far as, because Democrats are looking for somebody to vote for. Most of them don't like Joe Biden very well.
Well, that's the problem. Joe Biden's got such, so low ratings. He's made so many blunders in public, embarrassing statements.
Yeah.
And Robert F. Kennedy, again, he has that speech impediment issue. It makes it difficult for some to support him because, often people don't think very deeply. But policy-wise, he's tearing apart Biden and is a incredibly important competitor in a democratic process.
Yeah.
But think about this, Al. So how, I do not understand what the strategy is behind denying it, because what happens if Kennedy gets assassinated?
Yeah.
Where would that blood be? It would be directly on the Biden administration. And so it makes you wonder one of two things. One, they don't want to give RFK credibility that he would get Secret Service protection. Many. Although the policy is basically with over 15% of polling numbers, and it looks like he has over that.
Right.
So that's interesting. That may be one policy. The other one is, well, just in case he gets too far ahead, maybe somebody takes him out. Which I pray that's not the case. But there's you have to ask questions why they would not be willing to do this. Why? And oh, by the way, according to Robert Kennedy Jr., his team had been discussing with the Secret Service, and the Secret Service was prepared to put an 8-man team on his campaign trail with him until the Biden White House denied it.
Boy, isn't that interesting. What a nice guy we got for president of the U.S., right?
Oh, my gosh. And he continually makes these incredible statements, like out and out lies, fabrications about his own life, about things that are happening out there. And the latest one today, he was screaming at a press conference, telling people to show him that they haven't accomplished or they've done everything they said they were going to do. And you better, someone show me that we didn't achieve what we wanted to do. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so you wanted to kill 13. 12 Marines and a soldier as you're evacuating Afghanistan, leaving after 20 years and giving it back to the same people we took it from. You're really proud of the border and 7 to 8 million illegal immigrants that have crossed the border. You're really proud of the economy with inflation that continues to undermine the people. I'm just like, what is this guy thinking? And why do people still, this is what I can't believe, why do people still believe what he says and repeat what he says?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I was watching Fox last week, and Biden's campaign manager, who is an elected politician representing, I can't think of the state, maybe you got it.
I don't remember.
Somewhere around Delaware, okay? But anyway, this man stood there and basically repeated again that Biden has done a phenomenal job in terms of accomplishment, and he just rattled them off one after the other. Now, the border issue certainly wasn't one of the ones that he wrapped off. The economy certainly wasn't one of the ones that he, you know, threw out there. And but he was incredibly, somebody who had very little acumen in politics would look at this guy, would look at his credentials, and they would say, all right, I'll take his word for it. But it's just it's absolutely abysmal, Jim. And what's going to be more abysmal is if Biden's there for a second term, in my opinion.
Yeah, that would be absolutely devastating to the country. But you can't count it out, because the way the votes are counted is what matters, not who votes.
Right.
And what we've seen with the abuse of the law enforcement Department of Justice against his political opposition, primary political opposition. But here's some of the issues that they are touting. The Biden administration talks about getting the infrastructure bill passed. The infrastructure bill was a Green New Deal type policy that paid off constituents and small groups that they would be able to continue to support the party. It paid off labor union leaders, though it undermined labor union members' jobs. That's one of the things that they claim. They talk about jobs creation, but when you actually look back at the facts, they talk about 5 million plus jobs. That's actually including the return of jobs after the COVID lockdown, and so many people lost their jobs. So if you go apples to apples from the same period of time from the Trump presidency and the number of jobs created to the Biden presidency with the number of jobs created, taking out that massive return of people to work because of the COVID lockdowns, then Trump does much better and produced a couple million more jobs than Joe Biden did in his first 3 years in office. So basically, they're manipulating information, lying to the American public, and praying that no one calls them out. And that actually shows how little respect they have for their own constituency, because they aren't willing to tell the truth. They think that their people are dumb enough to believe them. And unfortunately, in many cases, they're right.
Well, I'm sure not getting any valid arguments for President Biden around my neighborhood. I have to say that people just believe it, and they blindly believe everything, and I don't get it, Jim.
Yeah, I know it's hard to psychologically understand what's happening, but as this mass formation psychosis, what they used to push people into fear over the COVID issues, I think that spread to the political world, because they claim that Trump is the tyrant and the potential authoritarian taking control of Hitler.
And we're going to be right back, you guys, for the wrap-up. Stick around.